pray that you would bless him and bless that church. And I ask you to bless Evangelist Furr as he preaches to us now. Please fill him with your Holy Spirit and give us understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to start off by thanking Pastor Shelley just for the opportunity to preach. And it's always a great blessing to be able to do that. And also I want to start off by saying how, you know, near and dear the church in Oklahoma City is to myself. You know, I was there at the very first service, and so to see this church become independent, it's a great joy for me to be able to see that. I know they're in great hands. I'm really excited for all the things that God has for that church. And I think, like, the last time I was even able to preach for you guys here was at the very old building, the one in Jacksboro, or off of Jacksboro Highway, the Fort Worth building. So it's been quite a while. And, you know, you might think this would be pretty easy because there's a lesser crowd here this morning. But, you know, this is probably the biggest crowd that I've ever preached to still. So I'm used to preaching to a little bit of smaller crowd, but I'm thankful nonetheless. So I want to start off by, let's just start reading a couple verses here in chapter 28. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of a hin for the one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at even as the meat offering of the morning and as the drink offering thereof. Thou shalt offer it a sacrifice made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord." The title of my sermon this morning is Drink Offerings. Drink Offerings. And in this passage, it's kind of detailing out three specific offerings that were to be done on a day-by-day basis. You have the continual burnt offering of the lamb. You had the meat offering, the bread offering, and then you had this drink offering. And these were to be offered in the morning and in the evening. And specifically, I want to focus in on the drink offering this morning and what it represents. And of course, these sacrifices, they all picture or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, the true sacrifice. You have the lamb, that's the continual burnt offering. That's picturing what? Jesus Christ's sacrifice and him going to hell and burning in hell for us, taking our place. You have the bread offering, which represents Jesus Christ being that bread that came down from heaven. And if you read in other places, it talks about that bread being waved for a wave offering, which is picturing what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The drink offering this morning, what I want to focus in on is how this represents Jesus Christ's physical death and you know, the pain and suffering that he endured leading up to the cross. Go to hold your place and put a bookmarker here in Numbers chapter number 28. Go to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53, a very famous passage in the Bible dealing with the death of Jesus Christ and how he would be a sacrifice for us. Isaiah chapter number 53, we're going to start reading in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make," notice, "his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." Notice this, "because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So you have this picture of Jesus Christ's death, the pain that he endured leading up to the cross, and then him finally giving up the ghost on the cross. And the Bible is likening this to him pouring out his soul unto death. And of course, the drink offering, it's an offering of some liquid substance, whether it's water or wine, and that's being poured out completely for the Lord. And that's a picture that's symbolic of Jesus Christ and how he would pour out himself into that sacrifice, that he would make full atonement, full restitution by his death. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 3, it talks about the flood and Noah's ark. And it says that 8 souls were saved by water. So when the Bible is using this word soul, we're not always talking about how maybe sometimes we would think of like our eternal being. You know, you have your body, soul, spirit. Sometimes the word soul in the Bible is referring to the physical body, right? And so when the Bible says 8 souls were saved by water, it's just saying that 8 people were alive. They were saved through the ark, right? Through the ark that Noah built. It wasn't necessarily talking about their eternal salvation, obviously. It's talking about their physical body. So the Bible here, it's depicting to us that Jesus Christ, he poured out his soul unto death so that way we could have salvation. Go to Zechariah chapter number 12, the second to last book in the Old Testament. I want to look at another picture here of this drink offering being poured out for us. Zechariah chapter number 12, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem," notice this, "the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So Zechariah here, this is actually a passage that he's prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also of himself. This is a dual fulfillment passage here, because we know this in the book of Matthew 23, when Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the righteous blood of Abel unto the righteous blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, or Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the altar and the temple. So the Bible is kind of illustrating to us two things here: Zechariah's death, foreshadowing his death, but also ultimately foreshadowing Jesus Christ's death, that they would look upon him of whom they had pierced, they would mourn for him as one that was their only son. Notice the Bible says, though, that as they're looking upon him, there at the beginning of verse 10, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Bible says that God is going to pour out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. Right? So that drink offering is also representing the grace, the abundant grace that God has poured out for us. So that way we could have salvation. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." So the Bible is telling us that, again, we have this abundant amount of grace, and it was the full atonement of Jesus Christ's death, and also his burial, and also his resurrection that gives us remission of sins. Go back to Numbers chapter number 28. I just want to look at a couple depictions here of Jesus Christ and what it means to pour those things out. But I want to kind of focus in on the characteristics associated with the drink offering. So I think it's pretty clear. Most of these verses are pretty famous verses in the Old Testament that are prophesying of Jesus Christ and his death. And it's pretty clear to see that the drink offering being poured out is representing what Jesus Christ did for us, him pouring out his soul unto death, him pouring out his abundant grace upon us. Numbers chapter number 28, let's look at a couple characteristics of this drink offering, because I want you to notice the potency and the consistency of the drink offering. Verse number 7, we'll reread this verse. It says, "And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of a hin for the one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering." So this particular drink offering was supposed to be a vessel that contained strong wine. Strong wine. Now, of course, in the Bible, wine can have many different meanings. And anytime we're talking about wine representing the blood of Jesus Christ or representing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about alcoholic wine, right? And a lot of people get confused on this concept. In fact, even today, we use words that could mean something that's an alcoholic beverage, and it could also mean something that's a non-alcoholic beverage. Like, for instance, my wife, she really likes ginger ale, but it's non-alcoholic, right? There's no alcohol in ginger ale. It's just a fizzy drink, right? But yet, then there's also a process in which you can make alcoholic an alcoholic drink that's called an ale, right? And so even today, we use these same terms, and it could mean something that's non-alcoholic, something that's alcoholic. We just have to look at the context. What are we talking about here? So I want to make sure that when we see strong wine in the Bible, we're not thinking alcoholic wine. We're not thinking something that is poison, because God's sacrifice is representing life, not poison, not death, right? And so when it says strong wine here, what I believe the Bible is trying to teach us here is the potency, the concentrate of this drink offering. How the pure blood of the grape, this was not watered down. This was not mixed with anything. And I want to look at a verse just to help us understand this. Go to Revelation 14. There at the end of your Bible, Revelation chapter number 14. I just want to look at a passage to help us understand this concept of a vessel of strong wine that's not watered down. Revelation chapter 14, talking about the wrath of God, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." So here we have wine representing Jesus Christ. Are we talking about alcoholic wine? No. We're talking about fruit juice, the fresh blood of the grape, the fruit of the vine. It says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out," notice, "without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." So what the Bible is depicting here is that God's wrath is like a vessel of wine that's being poured out without mixture. What is that saying? That it's not watered down. That God's wrath is going to be to its full potency, right? Those that are going to be enduring the wrath of God at that time, there's not going to be any holding back from God. God's going to be completely pouring out his wrath on the earth at that time. And so, again, I just want you to get an idea as to what we're talking about here with the drink offering, that it's not watered down. Just like the sacrifice of Jesus Christ wasn't watered down. You know, it made a full atonement for our sins. It cleanses us from all of our sins. The Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, right? It's not like Jesus Christ made the down payment for our sins, and then we got to keep making that monthly payment just so that way we can still have salvation. No, friend, the Bible teaches that this drink offering of Jesus pouring out his soul unto death was of strong potency. It was something that was not watered down. It was something that was very strong. Another aspect of the characteristic, you can go back to Numbers 28. Another characteristic here that we see is that this was supposed to be done day by day. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And the other lamb shalt thou offer at even as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." So this drink offering was supposed to be offered daily, morning and evening. So notice the consistency, the, you know, how this is something that happens on a daily basis. Now, obviously, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, you know, these sacrifices, they could not literally cleanse the observers of those from their sins, right? That it was the true sacrifice, the sacrifice that was once for all, that was going to cleanse us of our sins. These are just pictures of the true. But I do think there's something that we can learn here by it being day by day, is that salvation covers all of our sins from our birth to our death, right? It covers every sin that we're ever going to commit. Jesus Christ died for every sin day by day. Go to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter number 1 for you. Ephesians 1, while you're turning there, the Bible says in verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So Jesus Christ poured out his soul unto death, and that's picturing the fact that Jesus Christ made a full atonement, that he didn't just pay some of our sins, but no, he paid all of our sins. It was him pouring out his soul unto death. Also depicting the spirit of grace that God was going to pour upon the inhabitants of those that beheld Jesus Christ, those that come to Jesus Christ. He's going to pour out his great riches, as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 is saying. Notice what the Bible says in Romans 5, 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So even as you go day by day in your daily life, you're inevitably going to commit sins, but guess what? God's sacrifice, his grace is sufficient, right? His grace covers all of our sins, and it's a pouring out of Jesus Christ for us. He is our drink offering. You know, the Bible says that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, God, he has sufficient amount of grace for everything that we can go through in this life, especially when we're talking about salvation. And so I thought it was pretty interesting just to look at what is the picture of the drink offering. It's kind of one of those offerings that doesn't get a whole lot of airtime, right? People don't really, you don't hear a lot of sermons being preached on the drink offering. And I think it's pretty clear to see from the Bible that drink offering is representing Jesus Christ pouring out himself. And it was of strong wine. It was of strong potency. It was not watered down. But you know, there's also an application from the drink offering that we can apply to ourselves. And that's really what I want to focus on for the remainder of the sermon is that we as Christians need to be drink offerings poured out for the Lord. We need to be drink offerings that are poured out for the Lord. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read a very famous verse for you. Romans 12, 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what the Bible is saying is that God, he desires for us to be a living sacrifice, a living offering unto him. He wants us to serve him with our whole heart. He wants us to, you know, reject the desires of the flesh and the pulling of this world to live like the rest of the heathen of this world. And he wants us to live a sanctified life that's set apart, that's an offering, that is a sacrifice on him. And notice, I love the Bible and how it's worded here. It says that's our reasonable service. You know, sometimes people who spend a lot of time in the ministry, or they spend a lot of time serving God and going out soul winning, they kind of think that they're doing above and beyond what they're asked to do. But the reality is that that's just our reasonable service. Right? Jesus Christ poured out his soul unto death. He left nothing unturned. It was a full atonement of our sins. He suffered so many great things for us. It's just our reasonable service to make ourselves a living sacrifice unto him. We as Christians should live our lives as a living sacrifice. We should live our lives as a drink offering. I mean, just think about a drink offering. It's being poured out. And we probably understand this concept. Maybe you know a business owner or somebody who is successful in business, and you might say, man, they really pour themselves into that business. What are we saying? We're saying that, man, they spend a lot of time, effort, energy. They're putting all their effort into making that business successful. And what the Bible is saying is that God, he wants us to be a drink offering for him that's poured out for him. Not for ourselves. You know, the Bible says that we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. And there's so many people that we have an opportunity in our daily life to pour out unto them, right? To be a drink offering for the Lord, to minister unto them, whether it's the ministry of reconciliation, going out soul winning, preaching the gospel. I want to look at a passage here that kind of helps us to see this and how dedicated David's mighty men were to him as their king. Now, this morning, if you're saved, Jesus Christ, he is your king. You know, this is a very famous saying right now. Jesus Christ is king. Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody's getting on their social media platform or whatever, tooting their horn about Jesus Christ being king, yet they don't live their life like Jesus Christ is their king. They're not actually serving God how God wants them to serve God, which is to be a living sacrifice. It's just your reasonable service. Notice three mighty men of David and what they were willing to do for their king. The Bible says in verse number 15, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof," notice this, "but poured it out unto the Lord." These three men, they risked life and limb. They sacrificed their life. They laid down their life to be able to gather this well, to draw this water from the well of Bethlehem to be able to give to their king. You know, the king, he said, he longed. He said, "Oh, that one would give me drink." And did the three mighty men, they're like, "Yeah, but look at all these Philistines. That's impossible. We're not going to be able to win this battle. We can't break through there. We're going to die." No, they were willing to endure all kinds of trouble and persecution and you know, difficult times in their life. They're willing to do that to draw water out for the king. And notice David, when he saw the sacrifice that they made, he didn't keep that for himself. What did he do? He saw the sacrifice and he poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord, which is picturing what? The sacrifice that these three men made in service to their king. You know, and as Christians, that's how we should view our life. We should view our life as we are a drink offering. We want to, the works that we do in this life, we want them to be acceptable unto the Lord, to where God is viewing that as us pouring out our life unto him. We're being that drink offering being poured out. And notice the drink offering, its potency, right? It wasn't something that's watered down. You know, a lot of Christians, they go to church Sunday morning and then that's it. And they say, "Oh, well, I'm being a drink offering." But is that the type of drink offering that we saw in the Bible? Was it one that was mixed with water, that was watered down? No, what was acceptable unto the Lord, what God commanded, is that that drink offering would be of the strong wine without mixture, that it would be of their fullest effort. You know, and just like they sacrificed their life to draw water out of Bethlehem, we too, we should be willing to lay down our life. We should be willing to serve God to the bitter end. We should be willing to at least just go and draw water out of that well, the water of life, so that way we can give that unto those who need it, right? Those who need to be saved in service to the king. Make your life a drink offering unto the Lord that's poured out. You know, as a Christian, you should be pouring yourself into the Christian life. You know, and this is something I've noticed, is not very many people are willing to do that. Not very many people are willing to, you know, it's funny to me is you'll see people are very go-getters, right? They're very successful. They pour all their effort and energy into something that's carnal. And it's something that's going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. And you're just thinking, why are you wasting all of your time? Why are you doing that? Why don't you refocus your energy, effort, and time into serving God, into reading your Bible, into studying, into getting people saved? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. You know, here's an example of somebody who poured out himself into others, who was a drink offering for the Lord when it came to getting people saved, the Apostle Paul. First Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Again, some pretty famous passages here. The Bible says in verse 19, I want you to notice Paul's dedication to his work. Verse 19, the Bible says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Just like Jesus Christ, he made himself of no reputation. He came in the form of a servant. He humbled himself so that way we could have salvation, so we could have the benefit of his servitude. We too ought to have the mindset that Paul had is, hey, even though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant unto all. So that way I can get as many people saved as I possibly can. Notice what the Bible says in verse 20, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul, what did he do? He was pouring himself out for the ministry of reconciliation. He was pouring himself out into soul winning. He was pouring himself out into getting people saved. Why? Because it's the most important work that we have to do. And it's a work of selflessness, isn't it? It's not selfish. You know, when we go out and we preach the gospel, we're giving up our time. We're giving up our energy. We're giving up our mental aptitude. I mean, preaching the gospel isn't easy. It's not necessarily physical hard work. Sometimes it is. It depends on how hot it is and how many stairs you got to go up and down, right? But, you know, for the most part, it's mostly mentally taxing. But yet, what did Paul do? He poured himself out into that work. He was a drink offering unto the Lord. And we too, we ought to have that mindset that, hey, I want to, by all means, get some saved. You know, whatever I can do to get people saved. And here's the thing is, some people, they want to be that drink offering. The problem is they find themselves being watered down. You know, they want to go soul winning, but they didn't spend the time pouring themselves into their Bible study to be prepared to give the gospel. They didn't spend the time preparing the verses that they're going to use that are going to cut to the heart. Right? They didn't spend the time, you know, listening to that seasoned soul winner. You know, and this is something that I want to constantly try and strive to do, and I recommend everybody do this, is when you go out soul winning, try to find somebody who you know is a really good preacher so you can learn something from them. I'm constantly learning things from other people, you know, especially even moving here because now I'm going soul winning with a lot of new people, right? And so I'm hearing examples that I've never heard before. And just, it's this desire of wanting to pour yourself into that work. Wanting to be the best soul winner that you could possibly be. You know, because we don't have an eternity here on this earth. We only have the time in which God has allotted us. And we don't even know what that looks like. We don't even know how long that is. And so I don't know about you. I want to pour myself out into the work of God. Into serving the Lord and make it the fullest that I possibly can. You know, I love this saying, and I've heard this in the secular world, but how you do anything is how you do everything. You know, you may take a minuscule task or something that is not as important to you, and you may do it halfway. You may be that drink offering that's just with mixture of water, that's watered down, being poured out. But here's the reality is usually what ends up happening is that then trickles down to other areas of your life. How you do anything is how you're going to do everything. You know, I like being around people who are intense. I like being around people who are go-getters, around people who, want to pour themselves out into whatever it is that they're doing. And obviously, I'm specifically talking about serving the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I want to look at a couple other passages here. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. When it comes to your Bible reading, how many of you are pouring yourself out into your Bible reading? You know, it was that daily sacrifice, wasn't it? That daily offering. Evening, morning. Now, I'm not saying you have to read your Bible evening and mourning. But the Bible talks about doing that. The Bible talks about that being a benefit unto you. But you should at least have some time once a day set out that you're going to spend time reading the Bible. And when you're reading the Bible, do you read a couple chapters and you don't get anything out of it because you're so distracted? Things are distracting, the phone. Maybe it's your kids. You know, maybe it's work that you got to do later on that day. You know, I've been guilty of that before, right? So I know that I'm not the only one. It's really easy to get distracted when reading your Bible. But hey, God, every time we sit down to read our Bible, God's word is there to speak to us. It's there to be a benefit unto us, to bless us with his word. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Notice this. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So Paul's instruction to Timothy is that when he's studying, when he's meditating upon the word of God, that he's instructing him to give himself wholly unto that, to be that strong drink offering that's poured out. And again, this is, you can apply this to going out soul winning. Hey, when you're meditating on the word, getting prepared, ready to go out soul winning, you should be giving yourself wholly unto those. If you have an opportunity as a man to preach a sermon, hey, you should give yourself wholly to the study of the scriptures, to preach an edifying and a good sermon. You know, Pastor Shelley has so much instruction on how to be a good preacher, but yet I just constantly see people not listening to his advice. You know, and those are there, those sermons are there to help us to be better preachers, to help us to serve God better. 1 Peter chapter number 3. You can go ahead and turn there. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 15. And I want you to ask yourself this question when we get done reading this verse. Ask yourself, am I doing this? Is this me? It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. If you had a soul winning opportunity that just comes out of nowhere, it's not your designated soul winning time, maybe it's just a coworker, maybe it's just somebody at the convenience store, maybe it's just, you know, somebody on the airplane or whatever, are you ready to give an answer always to those that ask of you the hope that's in you with meekness and fear? You know, you say, well, how do I get to that point? Well, you have to be a drink offering unto the Lord. You have to be willing to give all of your time, effort, energy to serving God. Go ahead and skip to Mark chapter 12. I'm going to skip a couple verses. Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 30. Jesus is asked, what are the greatest commandments? The first greatest commandment, notice what the Bible says. And now, verse 30, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This isn't optional. You know, this is what God requires of us, is that he wants us to give all of our time, effort, energy. We ought to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything that's within us, we should love the Lord. And, you know, that's going to cause us to be that drink offering that's poured out unto him. Go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, that word fervent means hot. It means burning. It means glowing, great intensity. Right? So how are we supposed to serve the Lord? It's with great intensity. We're supposed to be on fire Christians. You know, and this is why I love our church. This is why I love our movement. Is I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, right? Because many of you are very on fire Christians. Many of you are people who have a fervent spirit when it comes to serving the Lord. And I like being around these type of people. It encourages me. You know, and it's like coals. You know, I like to smoke meats and I like to cook on the grill, right? And we got those lumps of charcoal, those lumps of charcoal in the grill. You get one of them nice and hot, and what does it do? It starts getting all the other coals that are around it in its nearest proximity hot. And so when you see somebody who's on fire for the Lord, who has a fervent spirit to serve the Lord, hey, you should want to gravitate to that person. You should want to spend a lot of time with that person. Why? So that way you can catch that fire. So that way you can catch that fervent spirit. And, you know, that's how we should serve God, is with that red hot spirit. Hey, you should be pouring yourself out fully unto, you know, into your wife and your husband. Right? When it comes to that relationship, you should be red hot about being that drink offering and loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And women submitting to your husbands as the church submits unto Christ. Right? You should serve God with a fervent spirit. When you have an opportunity to serve your husband, you should do it. When you have an opportunity to love your wife, you should do it. Don't leave off of those things. Be a drink offering unto the Lord. You should pour out yourself and to be a father and a mother. If you have children, you know, and I get it because I have five children, and there are days I come home from work and I just want to relax. But you know what, though, my children, they want to spend time with dad, right? And so as a father or as a mother, you need to look at your role that God has given you, your job that God has given you, and pour out into those kids, right? Be that drink offering for the Lord and be the type of father and mother that God wants you to be. Or how about the vice versa? How about as a child, you want to be a drink offering, pour it out in service to your parents? You know, it's funny, as the house we moved into, it doesn't have a dishwasher. And we didn't even notice that when we were looking. And that's fine. It's not that big of a deal. But it's kind of given us an opportunity to give some more chores to our kids. And what I realized is like that my kids sometimes, they're that watered down drink offering where they're like leaving food on the plates and the utensils. I pull out a plate to put some food on it and it's got like leftovers from the night before. I'm just thinking, what's going on here, right? And as a child, when your parents ask you to do something, you should be that drink offering that's poured out without mixture for your parents, right? Serving your parents and doing exactly what they ask you to do, not leaving anything off. And it should be something that's done daily, right? It's not just you one day of the week you pick to obey parents. No, you should obey your parents every day of the week. How about pouring yourself out into being a good musician? You know, our church, this is definitely a lot different than Oklahoma City because we just didn't have the blessing of having many instrument players, right? But this church has many different instrument players. So if you play an instrument, or maybe you have a hidden talent that nobody knows about, you know, maybe you should decide to be a drink offering for the Lord and really pour yourself into perfecting your craft, being better at being a musician, being better at song leading, being better at whatever opportunity you have to serve the Lord. Be that drink offering for the Lord and do everything to your fullest ability. You know, don't leave anything off. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, anytime you're thinking about serving the Lord, you just think of the effort, energy that Jesus Christ put into saving your soul. How he was a drink offering for us, and you should put that same type of energy, effort into being a drink offering that's poured out unto the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10. I want you to, just for sake of time, go to 2 Kings chapter 13. You guys are going to be very familiar with this verse. I'll read it for you. Ecclesiastes 9:10. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And the Bible is instructing us that whatever we find ourselves doing, even if it's something that's seemingly small, you should do it with all your might. You should put all of your effort into doing that. You know, whatever it is, wherever you find yourself serving God, whatever opportunity you have to serve the Lord, hey, give it your all. Put everything you can into it. You say, well, I don't really have that many talents. I don't really have that many great things going on. But hold on a second. What about the poor widow woman? The poor widow woman, what did she do? She cast in two mites, and God said that she cast in all her living. She cast in more than of their riches. The scribes and the Pharisees that were casting in these great amounts. Yeah, they were casting in these great amounts because they were very rich. Because they were devouring widows' houses, right? But this poor widow woman, what did she do? She was a drink offering unto the Lord by giving just those two mites that she had. She gave everything that she had into serving God. And so you may find yourself saying, I don't have very many talents, or I don't have very much to offer. Well, what you do have to offer, serve the Lord with that. You know, do what you can with what you have. Serve the Lord with all thy might. Go to church with all thy might. Read your Bible with all thy might. Preach sermons with all thy might. Be a soul winner with all thy might. Amen. Right? That is what the Bible is instructing us to do, is to be that drink offering that's poured out unto him. We'll finish here. 2 Kings chapter 13. You know, and I also just want to encourage you that, you know, you only have a short space here on this earth to serve God. And this has always blown my mind, is everything that we do in this life is going to last for eternity when it comes to whether we do good works or our works are worthless after we're saved, right? Once we're saved, we can either build up unto ourselves gold, silver, precious stones, or we can build up a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. And we only have such a short time here on this earth to do that, right? But everything that we do here in this life has everything to do with eternity. It has everything to do with what you're going to receive in eternity, the authority you're going to be given in eternity, how you're going to serve God in eternity. I mean, that's just always blown my mind because it's such a small blip on the radar when we're talking about eternity. You know, in each one of us, we only get so many years to serve the Lord. And I don't know about you, I want to serve the Lord with all my might. I want to be a drink offering that's poured out without mixture unto the Lord. You know, I want to serve God to the best of my ability. Every opportunity that I have, I want to serve the Lord. And, you know, if you would have asked me 4, 5, 6 years ago that I would be, working for this church, and serving alongside pastor and preaching a sermon, I would have been like, you're nuts. But, you know, I just had this mentality is whatever God wants me to do, I'm just going to try to do it with all my might. Whatever that is, right? And so that's the mentality you should have. Notice the story here in 2 Kings chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 18, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. So you have this example here where the king of Israel, he's told to smite the ground by the man of God, and he pours out a drink offering that's mixed with water, doesn't he? He doesn't exactly go hard. He doesn't exactly have a mentality of, you know, giving it his all. And what does the man of God say? You only smote 3 times? What are you doing? You should have smote 5 or 6 times. You should have gave it your all. And so because of that, God ended up blessing them less, right? God ended up only delivering them, the Bible says, from Syria thrice. And so, you know, again, this morning, I want to encourage you that, you know, when you're serving the Lord, you should be doing it with a fervent spirit, and it should be a drink offering that is not watered down, right? That you're giving everything that you have into serving God, whatever that is. Wherever you have an opportunity to serve God, even if it's just being a good father and a good husband in your family, leading your family, taking your family to the right church, taking your family to church 3 times a week. You know, spending time serving the Lord because your time on earth is so short. You only have a small opportunity to be a drink offering unto the Lord. And I want, you know, you guys to reap the same rewards as those that did great things that we read about in the New Testament, right? You have the apostles, you have Paul, you have so many people where they just hazard their life to serve the Lord. You know, and we should be willing to go through any type of persecution. And I get it. You know, this church knows what it's like to go through persecution and still serve the Lord. You know, and I'm thankful for a church like this that in the face of adversity, in the face of persecution, guess what? You're still here on a Sunday morning. Guess what? Many of you, the church members are in Oklahoma City celebrating the ordination of Dylan Oz. And it's funny, it's like if anybody was, you know, Googled Dylan Oz, they would say, there's no way this guy could ever be a pastor, right? You know, he's not exactly beloved of this world, right? But yet he's a great man of God, and he's leading the charge there in Oklahoma City, and we have many of our members that are there supporting him because they know what it's like to go through those difficulties. They know what it's like to go through those battles, those persecutions. You know, and they're not smiting on the ground. You guys aren't smiting on the ground three times. You're smiting on the ground five and six times. And we want to keep that going. You know, we have a great opportunity to serve the Lord in this coming year. Pastor Shelley has some great opportunities to serve the Lord. And I don't know about you, I want to go as hard as I can go this upcoming year. I want to get as many people saved as I can possibly get saved. I want to influence people more for Jesus Christ in this next year than I did last year. How you do anything is how you do everything. And so if you take the small opportunities to serve the Lord seriously, you're inevitably going to take the big things seriously. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us all to be that drink offering that's poured out for you, Lord, that we would spend our time, energy, effort into serving you, that we would do it with a spirit that's on fire, that we would do it with the abilities that you have given us with all our might. Lord, we're thankful for all that you do. We're thankful for your Son being that drink offering that was poured out for us to give us salvation. And Lord, I just pray that as we move forward into this next year, that we would find opportunities to serve you more and to do more for you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
All right, for our last song, let's go to song number 401. Very fitting song to follow up that sermon. Set My Soul Afire, song number 401. Song number 401, Set My Soul Afire. Everybody sing it out with me on the first. Song number 401.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day. Set my soul afire.
praise, singing, everybody, you were all dismissed.